Welcome to my favorite podcast with Noah Marger.
The one in Orange, California on Tustin, way up on Tustin.
Yeah.
I really like that one. Like it more than the one on Chapman.
Mm-hmm.
East Chapman.
100%.
If that means anything to anyone in this chat.
Internet Crow.
Internet Crow! That's so good.
Yeah, so true. This is a bad idea.
This is terrible. This sucks.
This food is so good, it's a bad idea.
I need you to answer your question about the Prodigal Child Award. This is on you now.
I would love to see Don Cheadle in another.
Oh, that's a fucking good answer, too. He's only been in one. God damn it.
Well, here's my thing. Here's another one. It feels a little obvious, but also, I guess, not so much. Daniel Day Daniel Day has two PTA movies under his belt. Joaquin Phoenix has two PTA movies under his belt. What would a second Adam Sandler PTA movie look like, you think?
It's a great question.
I don't know.
He's older now.
He's like...
It's been 20 years. This is the 20th anniversary of Punch Drunk Love this year.
That's amazing. Yeah, he has a fatherly energy to him now.
Yes.
You know, I feel like you can't really make an Adam Sandler movie anymore without him.
You know what I think it would be similar to?
Hmm.
I think it would be more akin to his character in Meyerowitz Stories. I think it would be more akin to that. Because sure. When you said that, I was like, when he's singing that song with his daughter at the piano.
Fucking Christ! That scene is so good.
Such a beautiful moment.
Yeah, that scene in Meyerowitz Stories is the best thing Noah Baumbach has directed. That's the last best thing he directed.
Sure. You like that part more than anything in Marriage Story?
I like that part more than anything in Marriage Story.
My goodness.
As much as I love Ray Liotta and Laura Dern. But,
wow. You know.
And Wallace Shawn.
I haven't seen it since it came out. I also was fortunate enough to get to see it at RIP. The Landmark.
Oh.
The Landmark on the West Side.
Yeah.
That place was great. I actually preferred going to the Landmark on the West Side more than I did the Arclight in Hollywood.
Yeah. I love the Landmark. It's a good theater. Saw a lot of good movies there.
They're gonna make the Lemley in Pasadena a landmark.
Wow.
So
I kind of like that.
Something to think about.
Abby Sally, I know you're a Noah fan also. Not Marger, Bomba.
I was just about to say, you're a fan of mine, but of course you're not.
But yeah, you know, I will also say, haven't seen Marriage Story more than once. So maybe it's due for a rewatch. But I kind of just don't like Scarlett Johansson these days.
Sure.
Unfortunately. Even though I love Adam Driver.
Driver's great. Alan Alda is amazing in that movie.
Alan Alda's really good. I'm really excited. The woman from Baskets.
Martha Kelly
is great.
Is she in Marriage Story?
Yeah.
I don't remember her.
She's like the social worker that comes to visit them in like the third act.
Oh.
So they kind of like are building up
her
appearance.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
She's kind of got a heat check performance.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I also think I am hot on Marriage Stories because it's so severely underrated in comparison to Marriage Story.
I would love to see it again.
Yeah.
And I've actually talked to someone who actually saw a preview screening of White Noise.
I'm very excited for White Noise. I'm very excited for White Noise. It looks different. It looks good. It looks fun. I did not read the book though. Sorry, Grant Crater and other people who read books.
I've heard, well, from what I said to this person who saw it earlier, I said, I'm interested because it looks way different.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about it. I'm like, it's not way different.
Not really.
It's different enough.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a very, I guess it's about a family who's like, you know, upper middle class probably. But I mean, like the context of the story differs so greatly and kind of leaks into genre a little bit in a way that his movies have not ever, if not in a while.
We can ever get him to do the corrections miniseries that he was supposed to do.
Yeah.
That he should just retire after that.
That pilot exists somewhere, probably.
Oh, shit.
If you work at HBO, steal a tape.
Send it to us.
Send it to us.
To my P.O. box.
Yeah. Internet Crow is a good take here. I don't like Scarlett, but I do like her performance in Don John, a great performance in a weird movie. And Under the Skin, a great movie.
A great movie with a very interesting ScarJo performance.
Yes. It's kind of amazing that she kind of gets away with doing an accent. in a world where you could probably really nitpick on how bad her accent probably is in that movie.
In Under the Skin?
In Under the Skin. Well, she's doing like a Scottish...
I don't remember her talking at all, but she must
have. That's a good point. She doesn't really talk much in the film, but she does, I think, a little bit enough. But that movie's amazing. And I love... John Glazer. I cannot predict a PTA plot, but Adam Sandler should play a Holocaust survivor in the early 80s.
Set in the early
80s. That's a really sick idea. I don't know. I mean, he was going to play the Bear Jew in Inglourious Bastards, so we missed out on that. But I do like funny people. Anyway, yeah, I'd like to see Adam Sandler try his hand at being in another PTA movie. But other than that, Jesse Plemons. Jesse Plemons should be in another PTA movie.
Another great call.
Yeah. It's like the fact that he's in the PTA movie that he is in that role as Philip Seymour Hoffman's son is such good foresight for 2012 casting. Yes. But it also kind of neglects that Jesse Plemons is an amazing actor in his own right and can handle kind of any tone that you want him to and be incredibly empathetic. He can do like a Barry Egan style thing.
Yes.
Or it can be insanely scary if you want him to be, you know?
He could do like a Jake Gyllenhaal and Nightcrawler type character.
Totally.
Where he's just completely driven off pure like id, like off from the start.
It's also like amazing that Jesse Plemons' scariest role is him not being scary. Like, I think that's like the direction of Todd in Breaking Bad is that he's not being a villain.
I was going to say the guy from Game Night is his scariest
role. Game Night's such a funny fucking movie, and he's really good in that, too.
Yes.
I agree. His role in Breaking Bad is pretty terrifying. Absolutely.
Outside of Gus, it's probably the scariest character.
Exactly. And it's because he has this... He's missing...
Yeah, he's indifferent to violence.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yes. And to cruelty, I guess, to a certain degree. You know? Like... But yeah, he's amazing in that show. And I also got to watch Friday Night Lights this year, the TV show.
I've only seen a few episodes of it, but it's a really good show.
Yeah.
Genuinely a great network drama.
Yes, absolutely.
And he's great in it.
He's a shining star in that show, and he's really fun to watch. And every time he's in it, I'm very happy. That's just kind of the way it works.
Can you pick another fucking category for us, please?
Oh, yeah. Fuck that.
Fuck that, dude.
Fuck that shit, bro.
We are not going to get to all of these.
No.
No.
Give a PTA movie one Oscar. Any category, any movie.
You go for it first.
You know, it's kind of weird because I feel like Johnny Greenwood and John Bryan deserve their own Oscars.
Absolutely.
So it's kind of weird to kind of not give it to PTA.
Mine is give it going to PTA.
Yeah. So, but if it's like him himself, it would have to be writing, directing, and producing, right? Basically,
I mean, those are the three things he does.
He does. For
and I don't
movies.
Know when he started becoming a producer on his films.
Yeah.
At what point? I would have to guess at bare minimum after Magnolia.
Mm-hmm. I'd give him an Oscar for writing The Master.
Okay.
I would give him an Oscar. I'd give him. Yeah. Well, that movie deserves writing and editing Oscars, in my opinion. So jot that down.
Write this down.
Jot that down.
Write this fucking down. Right now, if you're writing this shit down. I want to see it on your hand.
Show us your papers right now.
Papers, please.
I love that game. But also, yeah, I think The Master deserves a lot of Oscars. And if one realistic one I could see, if he got to just get like one kind of sneaking under the belt, I would give him an Oscar for writing The Master. I think that is a very good movie.
Okay, here's my answer. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
He does a great Family Guy episode in season 4, so I'm giving him the Emmy for that. No, dude. Where are we?
Just
we
kidding. Are. I fucking bumped your ass because you brought up Family Guy.
You bumped my ass because I brought up Family Guy. You want me to jump out the plane.
Write that the fuck down. It's a Scott with too many T's. So true.
Write that fucking down right now.
All right, give your answer while I'm eating my food for a little bit.
Okay. Point the mic toward you. Okay. It's going to be crazy for me to edit later when I release the audio only.
I don't know what you're editing. This is all perfect.
Nothing. I won't be editing fucking anything. $100,000 on the screen. How about $1,000? If you know what that quote is from, put it in the chat. You probably don't. To me, this was actually an easy one for me. Okay. I looked it up. PTA has been nominated for 11 Academy Awards.
Hold on. Is that him himself or his movie?
Him himself. Has been nominated for 11 Academy Awards.
That's Boogie Nights for writing.
We can
look it up. Yeah,
let's pull it up. Let's pull this bitch up. Or actually, yeah, I'm just gonna say it. I'm going to give him one of these Oscars, one of those 11 Oscars. I'm going to give it to him. I think the people who won it that year were more than deserving. However, rewatching this movie for this podcast has really opened my eyes to how amazing There Will Be Blood really is. Yeah. So I would have to give him the best director for There Will Be Blood. Because to me,
definitely,
the three movies that he's made prior to that, Boogie Nights and Magnolia have a very similar energy to them. One is a little more melodramatic. The other one's maybe played, like you said, a little more for earnest comedy. The Punch Drunk Love feels like he's coming out of that mode into another mode. And this is more or less what we're what I'm talking about right now. This is more or less the spine of this podcast that we've been tracking the entire time, is how he's changed.
Yeah.
There Will Be Blood signifies a change in PTA's filmography. And it is one of his only films where it's like exudes darkness more than it exudes warmth. And the moments of warmth in the film are so staggering because of that.
It's fleeting. It's like these moments of humanity that are going away. You're seeing them for the last time.
Yes.
And you're seeing a character willingly forego them for the sake of personal gain.
Exactly.
And for capitalism.
And that's so different than everything that we had seen him do before. Mm-hmm. That in that moment, it signifies to me, this is a man maturing in front of our eyes as a filmmaker. Not to say that his other, it's not my favorite PTA film. It's one of them. But I think for what he is able to do and how he's able to change and adapt on a movie to movie basis, There Will Be Blood is where you see it most dramatically for the first time. So I'll give him the Oscar for Best Director for There Will Be Blood.
Can you pull up the other nominations that he got?
Yes.
I'll give him one of those also, just to play fair.
Yeah, you can.
And out of curiosity, too.
All right, so yes, he's been nominated for 11 Oscars. Best Writing for Boogie Nights.
Mm-hmm.
Best Writing for Magnolia.
Interesting.
Best Writing for There Will Be Blood, Best Directing for There Will Be Blood, and Best Motion Picture for There Will Be Blood.
Right.
Best Writing for Inherent Vice.
Yeah, I thought so. I really thought so, yeah.
Best Picture for Phantom Thread. Best Achievement in Directing for Phantom Thread. Best Screenplay for Licorice Pizza. Best Achievement in Directing for Licorice Pizza. And Best Motion Picture for Licorice Pizza.
What a crazy year that was.
Yeah.
So fucking
stupid. He didn't get
stupid.
Anything for The Master. They completely deadlocked him out of anything so for The Master.
I mean, yeah.
The Master and Punch Drunk Love, I think, are the only ones that haven't been given Oscars. That's
probably why I like them so much. I think it might have just, like, psychologically created a bridge there. But, I mean, yeah, they're really severely misunderstood movies, I think, still. Even still. But less so, I guess, for Punch Drunk Love now.
I think maybe on a mainstream level it still is, but I think there is a sect of people who are like, no, not only is that movie incredible, it's actually his best movie.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
The cinephiles out there. I love Inherent Vice. I mean, like, I think that script is really amazing. And I loved seeing him get nominated for it. But that was a good year. 2014 is an amazing year in movies. I think in hindsight, it's like, that was kind of the last time we had it really great, personally speaking.
I think 2019 was a great year, too.
I agree with that. Yeah. Okay. I don't know. I guess I have less in my head about 2019. But I think 2014 joins the ranks of 2009 and 2007 as memorable years of this century so far.
To me, 2002 is a great year, but it's probably because two of my favorite movies of all time came out that year.
Right, it's Adaptation and Punch Drunk Love.
Yeah,
totally. I guess I would give it to... Yeah, I guess I'd give it to There Will Be Blood also. I don't know. For directing?
That's what I gave it to,
yeah. How about fucking... Let's give it to him for directing Phantom Thread.
Let's go!
I think that movie's really, really beautiful. That movie really broke me this time through... And who's your favorite PTA directed music video? Thank you, Scott, with Too Many T's. If you want to submit pictures of Paul Thomas Anderson in the Discord, do it, and I'll try my best to pull them up.
I think so. We covered this on one of the episodes.
We do. Yeah. If you have not listened to it yet, we have an episode that's entirely dedicated to short form Paul Thomas Anderson projects.
I can tell you this: there's some great Paul Thomas Anderson music videos out there. I will say mine is. I'm not going to say exactly what it is, but it is a person and something that he has later collaborated with in his feature films.
Yes.
And this music video that he does, it came out this last decade. To me, it's one of the most impressive music videos I've ever seen in my life.
It's a really amazing Paul Thomas Anderson short film also.
It is.
Yeah, I think on its own, it is one of the most poetic and quiet things that he's done that, you know, like it's kind of like that vibe, lacking of context,
yes,
simply going on mood kind of thing that he leans into in this later era of his. I personally really love the music video he makes for Fiona Apple's Across the Universe cover.
Sure.
For made for Pleasantville, a movie that I really love. But he's got so many great music videos for sure. And you should check out that episode if you want to hear us talk about that kind of stuff in particular.
The one that I've kind of come around on big time, well, I don't know if I come around on the music video big time, but the Paper Bag music video is pretty good.
Yeah, it is.
It's pretty good. It's not
like,
amazing.
And it's like good in a way that I'm like, I can't really, I kind of say so what too, but yeah, that's sure. It. Well, whatever. Yeah, I think it's a cool music video. It is very...
It's very music video-y.
Totally. It kind of tries to do like the Spike Jonze thing that he does with that Bjork video. It's Oh So Quiet.
I don't know that one.
It's an amazing music video. But yeah, not my favorite PTA music video, but certainly good and shows a lot of technical skill. And the video for Hot Knife is really good. The video for Divers by Joanna Newsom. Maybe we can go on and on and on.
All right, so we're gonna do three here, three that are all connected to each other.
Uh oh.
Best individual piece of score, best overall score, and best musical moment.
Yeah. Okay.
So I can give you mine, and while you brew, and you can comment on this shit.
Mm-hmm.
I said it in the backdoor pilot when Rocky and I talked about Punch Drunk Love just as a normal episode of My Favorite Podcast.
Yeah. I'm going to consider this a backdoor pilot for a movie show that we do in the future.
Yeah, 100%.
You okay with that?
Yes.
All right, cool.
I was going to talk to you about it after.
Okay.
But the answer is yes.
Okay.
As amazing as Paul Thomas Anderson's direction is in Punch Drunk Love to making you feel that anxiety, as amazing and revelatory as Sandler is in the film, the secret MVP of Punch Drunk Love is John Bryan.
Very true.
He's the secret MVP. He is what the entire film has a soundscape and soundtrack to it that is all based on what he was doing in the lab prior to the film.
Yeah.
Lee Unkrich, the director of Coco, mm-hmm, has a great
Toy Story 3
has a great Criterion Closet video where he talks about the sound design in Punch Drunk Love and how it makes it feel like it's an alien observing life. And that was the perspective of which they used sound in that film. And John Bryan, it falls right in line with that. So to me, that is the, and again, I'm biased. It's my favorite movie of all time. It's my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson film. But I think that is he's the secret MVP of Punch Drunk Love. And within that, Tabula, however you say it, which is right at the beginning when he's getting the calls from his sisters and he's talking to the plunger guy and then the plunger breaks when he says it's actually indestructible. That is, to me, was such a formative moment for me as a, not only just as a moviegoer, but as someone who wants to make stuff and just as an artist, I was like, you can do that? You can have a score that sounds like that? Like, that's okay? I'm probably 16 or 17 when I see that for the first time. It blew the dam open for me on that.
I think it blew the dam open for a lot of filmmakers. I think there's a lot of filmmakers who've been making movies and releasing them in the indie sphere in particular in the late 2010s that are directly influenced by John Bryan's score for Punch Drunk Love.
100%.
I think a lot of people use it as temp score for their movies and then realize, God, I'm so fucking stupid because there's not a lot of good music out there that isn't from Punch Drunk Love or whatever, you know? Like, it is such a testament to the work that he puts in that film and how much he directs alongside
PTA.
I mean, PTA just directing with his composers, specifically John Bryan and Johnny Greenwood. I can't talk about anything other than The Master and There'll Be Blood for this segment, and also Punch Drunk Love, honestly. I mean, like, musical moments, this spans so many of the usages of pop music in Magnolia and Boogie Nights.
So for that category specifically,
yeah,
I got to give it to Amy Mann in Magnolia.
Of course.
Those are the best moments of Magnolia in retrospect. As much as I love that movie and as flawed as that film can be at times and how messy it is, everything with her in that, there he is right there. Check it out.
Yeah.
Everything that she brings to that is just electric and exactly, I think, what PTA is trying to make you feel.
It's wild. I think I said this on the episode of Magnolia, but that movie is kind of what any film kid would want to do for an artist. Anyone would love to make a movie that like centers around their favorite musician and uses all of their songs as emotional context and kind of a bridge. And then everyone bursts into a musical number where they sing this person's song. Like, that's such an incredible thing that you get to do when you're in a lucky position like Paul Thomas Anderson. I'm trying to hold in a burp.
Let it out, King!
Sorry!
Sorry, it's going to smell like dog shit in here now, because I ate dog shit for lunch.
Nice. It's hard to not pick Momentum or the Wise Up sequence.
Wise Up,
Magnolia.
Or even just the way that Save Me is used.
Yeah.
To drown out John C. Reilly's dialogue.
And then the guitar sting at the end.
So you have to focus
camera.
On Melora Hardin. I mean, just the way it's used there is unbelievable. So
that's true.
That's what I'll give that award to. So Tabla, Punch Drunk Love, Amy Mann.
Yeah. My favorite individual piece of score from a Paul Thomas Anderson movie, I think, is Able-Bodied Seaman.
From The Master?
From The Master. It's not even, like, I love the emotional stuff in particular, too, obviously, but, like, but that piece of music is, in the same way, that song is the tabla of The Master.
Yes.
That song is the kind of psychologically in the character's head as they are dealing with their emotions and are in a very mixed up headspace as they're re-entering the world of like grander American society. And there are these songs that are filled with a lot of tension and unsureness and using percussion in a very like drunk way, you know, like in a very kind of like swaying and unpredictable and super punchy kind of fashion. And the opening of The Master, I think, is just kind of one of my favorite things ever to watch. And part of that is because of the song Able-Bodied Seaman by Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead. And also they use it again later on in the film. And it just, again, creates this really, it's like a darkly comedic song to a certain degree.
Well, they were going to call it Able-Bodied Jizz. And they're like, oh, let's just call it Able-Bodied Seaman instead.
Able-Bodied Cum Sluts.
Able-Bodied Cum.
Sorry.
Able-bodied cum.
Sorry for anyone.
Can you zoom in on us real quick? Able-bodied cum.
Able-bodied cum.
Back to me. Able-bodied spum.
Able-bodied spum. That's
back to me one more time.
Okay, all right.
Able-bodied jizz.
Okay, all right. yeah, I don't know. I could return to that song forever and ever. I love playing the drums along with that song, and it... I don't know. That one just really stands out to me. As far as the grand overall score goes, it feels really fucked up not to pick Punch Drunk Love, but you did pick it. So
you're going to defile me in front of
everyone. I'm going to use you.
Sure.
And hey, shout out to Wolfman Craig in the chat, it says. We have a Nuclear Goose saying, that's the Wolfman Craig we all love so much. Well, this is how Alana Haim ended up in Licorice Pizza.
Oh, my goodness.
My God.
Rocky's only, 2 years older than me? Three?
How old are you?
25.
Man, that's crazy.
25, but you also have a late year birthday. I have an early year
that's
birthday.
That's true, that's
so
true.
It's like 2 years and a couple months.
I'm 30.
Paramount Vantage!
Rest in peace, Paramount Vantage. I think the score for There Will Be Blood is really important.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it really... For a movie that uses silence so deliberately and with such intention and success, for that matter, I think Johnny Greenwood's score, and this is also true for Phantom Thread, does so much of the emotional storytelling and communication of what's going on in this dude's head as he is climbing the ladder and pushing people down like to the side, you know? It feels like such a hacky answer, especially because Punch Drunk Love is just, again, so fucking formative.
Yes.
But watching There Will Be Blood this time again, I was just so blown away and moved by the anxiety that he creates, and the kind of like the loss of humanity, like the little beats of niceness just leaving the frame and the movie for the last time as this guy just becomes a monster. I don't know. It's hard not to pick it.
You could say the same thing about the Phantom Thread score and how heroic that is.
Yeah.
In a similar way that the John Bryan score in Punch Drunk Love creates an entire scape.
Definitely.
The Phantom Thread score, we said it on the show, but the movie's 130 minutes long.
Yeah.
The score is 90 minutes long.
Mm-hmm.
With the exception of that, you know, a little bit where there's no score, the entire thing is being underpinned by the sounds of Reynolds and the House of Woodcock.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, both those movies are really amazing. So I'm going to pick The Master instead.
Silly.
Yeah.
Little friend.
There's a scene in The Master where...
Oh, because of able-bodied semen.
Yeah, well, Freddy runs from someone he might have accidentally murdered.
Oh.
And the music is so lost and scared. It's like little boy, like, in a dark world, like, oh, no, what am I going to do? Like, that's kind of conveying this feeling. And it's just all, like, these, like, clarinets that are atonal and are really longing and wistful and scared. And then that music is drowned out by bossa nova music that's coming from Lancaster Dodd's boat on the port of San Francisco. And it is, I don't know, I think I just really love The Master. And I think its score and usage of tunes from the 50s is very beautiful. And I'm going to have to give that to the overall award.
I wish that he would fucking go back to that time period, make something else in that 50s, early 60s time period.
It's amazing what he can do with a budget that's not too fucking big, is what it seems.
It's like a $25, $30 million budget.
Yeah, and he might be making that 1940s movie set in Los Angeles. The Jazz Age, the little Harlem Renaissance kind of movie that Denzel Washington.
Little Harlem Renaissance, that was your name on the streets, right?
Yep. The Harlem Renaissance, what they would call me.
Was great. That was awesome when they did that.
Mm-hmm. It was really cool. So, yeah, I'm going to give it to The Master because I love that movie very much. And then what's the last one? It's like the best musical moment.
Best musical moment.
Fucking Christ. How are we going
to
do this?
I mean, I don't know. To me, I just wanted to make sure I got Amy Mann from Magnolia in there.
Yeah.
So you could pick a pop. You could pick a pop score. You could pick...
I'm going to pick a pops. Oh, yeah.
You could use this moment to talk about an example of something that could go here. Mm-hmm. The way that He Needs Me is used in Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, that's it. That was it. Sorry. Yeah, that was it. I had that in my head about 20 minutes ago, and I completely forgot about it until now. Yeah.
Because it's score and pop song. And the way that what they do in there, the way they distort, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that is so audacious, and it's almost like you're out of your goddamn mind for even trying to do that.
But he did it.
Especially because I've seen Robert Altman's Popeye since I've seen this movie for the first time or whatever now. And I love that film. It's a very beautiful song. Shelley Duvall's amazing. And to recontextualize it like this, what is so shocking. It's probably one of the best moments in that movie, that entire sequence in Hawaii. So, I mean, fuck it. Yeah, that is like the best musical moment. Sorry to everything in Boogie Nights and also Supertramp and Magnolia.
And everything in Inherent Vice.
Christ, yeah. I mean, you got Neil Young.
And everything in, there's some great needle drops in Licorice Pizza, as much as we don't like that movie on the whole.
Nope. No, there's not.
Great.
No,
there's actually not.
Peace Frog by The Doors.
I'm wearing an E.T. shirt.
Any Day Now at the end of Inherent Vice is really great.
I had that written down.
Vitamin C's Can.
Vitamin C's Cannot.
Cannot. Oh my God. Another one that you kind of can't forget about. God Only Knows by the Beach Boys at the end of Boogie Nights.
Fuck, man.
Leading into the John Bryan and Michael Penn score of that circus theme, which is probably one of my top three PTA score moments also.
Dude, like
individual
fuck,
pieces of score.
The way we talked about on the fucking Boogie Nights episode.
I know.
But the way that overture is used at the beginning of the film.
Yeah, I'm kind of crying thinking about it.
I'm going home and I'm watching Boogie Nights.
Yeah, I got full body shakes right now. It's really amazing.
Oh, we got full body shakes in the chat right now. That's a great name if someone
Thank you, full body shakes for the two-person raid.
Thank you for 7,000 months, full body shakes.
Wow, that's I agree. Yeah,
I think it's your turn to pick a category.
I thought I picked the
picked those three in a row. I wanted to make sure we talked about music.
Recast someone as Paul F. Tompkins.
You want to do that one?
Yeah, sure. Let's be silly. Why not? Yeah. So Paul F. Tompkins is a comedian. If you're not in the Earwolf LA comedy podcast scene, if you're not a fan of that stuff, he is the landlord in he's the open mic host in Tenacious D. He's Mr. Peanut Butter in BoJack Horseman.
Yes.
There you go.
He is has been a stand-up since the 80s, and yeah, he used to be a main figure.
He was on
figure.
Mr. Show, absolutely.
He wrote for Mr. Show. That's where he met Scott Aukerman, if you care about Scott Aukerman at all.
Is he the one who says, it's crack, it's great, it gets you high? No, he's in that sketch, though.
I haven't seen a ton of Mr. Show, so I'm not 100% sure.
Some really good sketches on Mr. Show.
Yeah, I'm watching it slowly. I'm watching it slowly.
Right.
Watching it sort of as a slow thing. Watching it slowly.
Right.
Yeah. So...
okay.
Okay. Thank you. I'm watching it slow. Slow kids at play. I'm watching it slowly. but he was a main fixture in the Largo scene, and that's where PTA did a lot of little casting decisions. And he was a main fixture in that. That's how he knows John Bryan. That's how he knows Marilyn Rice-Cubb.
Patton Oswalt in Magnolia.
And so Paul F. Tompkins, Fartkins is in Magnolia as the person that Philip Seymour Hoffman is talking to when he's trying to get a hold of Frank T.J. Mackey.
Yeah, I think his name is Chad or something.
I think you're right.
Yeah, but he is essentially...
and he's barely in There'll Be Blood as well.
Yeah, but he's more or less cut out of Magnolia. You can, like, hear his voice, but I believe they're supposed to be cutting to him and showing him in the film, and they cut him.
So I've been re-listening to Threedom, or actually listening to new episodes of Threedom quite a bit, which is him, Scott Aukerman, and Lauren Lapkus. The way that he talks about it, because he talks about how he was supposed to film his scene for Magnolia that day and then rush over and I think do Just Shoot Me.
Wow.
Or some other 90s sitcom. It was either Just Shoot Me or something similar to that title.
Right.
But he didn't have a cell phone. And they were going really long on Magnolia.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So he couldn't call the people and they were going to do the live taping because it was a Friday. And so he missed his, like... entrance, not his entrance of the scene, but like his like, and playing this guy, Paul F. Tompkins. Right. He missed his flowers moment a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
At the beginning and got there just in time because he had to go from one end of the valley to the other. So I don't know if they actually filmed his scene or they just recorded his dialogue.
That probably ended up being the case.
But
I mean,
even still, he's probably there for like 7 hours.
But you should listen to Paul F. Tompkins on Threedom or in his stand-up sets talk about being in Paul Thomas Anderson films. Paul F. Tompkins. It's confusing.
Paul T. Fartkins.
Paul T. Fartkins. And he eventually does, he's in There'll Be Blood, and he's pretty funny.
And you can hear him and see him for a second.
Yeah, and he says the lines of, we gain nothing by losing our heads.
Which is a very him thing to say.
Yeah, and he talks about that in the stand-up set of, like, why would someone say that? Papa Dong, yeah, love Threedom. There you go. Talk to Papa Dong.
Papa Dong. I have listened to Threedom so much in 2018 and 2019, and now that I forgot about it, and I was kind of anti that crowd for a little bit. Unfortunately, that was a mistake on my end because I'm now catching back up on it, and I have like exclusively listened to Threedom for like the last week and a half, 2 weeks. So fucking funny. So good. Lauren Lapkus, Scott F. Tompkins, Paul F. Tompkins.
Paul Aukerman.
Paul Saucerman.
Yeah.
To answer the question, though, of who do we cast as Paul F. Tompkins, who do we replace him with?
Right.
For the poetic justice of it all, and because it would be funny, mostly because it would be funny, I'm letting Paul F. Tompkins be Frank T.J. Mackey instead.
Sauce Tomperkin. Yeah, I like that. Noah, that's a very silly answer. And I respect it.
Noah, it's silly, but think about that. Him going out there going,
sure.
Now, what do we think of the cock? Yeah. We have to tame the cunt.
Yeah, I get that.
It would just be funny to me. And then he's like giving that interview with the reporter.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm stonewalling you.
I'm quietly judging you.
I'm quietly judging you, you stupid fuck.
Yeah.
So to me, that's funny.
I like it. I think he would be good as like a psych ward doctor in Inherent Vice.
Someone that's a character we've seen.
Yeah, there's a guy in the movie that I think he could replace.
Oh, so you're just letting—you're not giving him a real character role,
an individual role. No, I'm just—I'm replacing him, replacing someone with him. I guess is what I'm doing. No, he should be somewhere. He should have been like the radio DJ in Licorice Pizza.
That would have been a great cast.
Yeah, the guy who's doing the line, the reading, I guess, whatever you call it for.
He would have been
advertisements.
Great. He would have been great in The Master too.
Yes, absolutely. Josh Fadem cut out of The Master. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, Paul F. Tompkins is very funny, and in college he was kind of like my primary model for stand-up comedy writing and performing. And I still think he's a very funny guy.
Very funny guy. If you haven't listened to Threedom, huge recommend.
Give it a whirl.
I don't even think you need Stitcher Premium anymore to listen to it.
Really?
I think you can listen.
It was
listen
like an exclusive for a while, wasn't it?
It was, and then now CBB World has it as well. But I think you can just listen to recent episodes on like Spotify and shit. Should we do the Luis Guzman Humanitarian Award for Underrated Element next?
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Yes. Rocky's going to eat some Panda Express. I'm going to talk. I'm going to fucking put this show on my fucking back. And I'm going to carry you to the promised land, Rocky. Hey, Rocky, it's me, Tom Ligas.
Oh, no.
Here to do some Paul Thomas Anderson shit, Rocky.
Tom, I'm trying to eat lunch.
That's okay. I'm about to eat some pussy myself.
Oh, my God.
That's lunch and dinner and breakfast for me. Just kidding.
You should have been here on the last episode of Everything Now.
I was supposed to.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
I was supposed to. I'm sorry to everyone. I was supposed to do Everything Now for the first time in like 2 or 3 months.
Fucking apologize.
On Halloween, I was supposed to be for that new format. And last week I was so sick. It wasn't COVID, but I had this nasty ass fucking cold that just dragged itself out. And Monday was like the last day that I like kind of felt like shit. And then like Tuesday morning I woke up and I was like, oh, I think I'm like better now for real. So it lasted like a week. So I'm better now, but you can tell the cough and the congestion still a little bit lingering. So I wasn't able to do it, but I do want to get on before the end of the year, at least one more time. But for the Luis Guzman Humanitarian Award for the Underrated Element, it would be so easy. You are not getting another Chester Reynolds appearance, ASAP. That's the last time I played a character on the show, and I've been banished for 2 or 3 months to get the taste out of everybody's mouth.
It's true. I have to weasel Noah back into the studio because everyone else has pitchforks and torches.
Rocky's the only one who stands up for me. He's like, yes, do Chester Reynolds again tonight. It's the only reason I'm bringing you back. I'm getting it from both ends. They're like, don't do Chester. And then the one guy who's helping me out, smuggling me across the border.
You know you want to do Chester one more time,
you
right?
You gotta do Chester for me, baby. Smile. You're so beautiful when you smile.
Oh, my God, no.
It's easy to give this to Luis Guzman. He is the namesake of the award.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that kind of goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to highlight a newer addition to the PTA character actor role, or PTA character actor universe.
Sure.
She's appeared in Phantom Thread and Licorice Pizza, and
correct.
She's the best part of Licorice Pizza, in my opinion, or one
correct.
Of them, and an amazing comic relief role in Phantom Thread.
Let's Harriet Sansom Harris.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, really.
She's crumbelievable.
Yeah, she really steals the show in both movies. I mean, the Phantom Thread rewatch, I was blown away by how
Barbara Rose
specifically funny she was as a character who is so deeply pathetic.
Yes.
Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. Like just like close ups on her.
Yeah, like, while she's sleeping, it's so like brutally sad.
Yeah. It is really wild that PTA kind of like knows how to get really good stuff out of this woman.
Yes.
And
I don't know what else she's been in.
I can't really tell you either. I mean, we can look it up. I have that here.
Look it up, Rocky.
Yeah.
Look it up. Look it up, Stinky. Look it up. Fart.
I'm farting today.
I'm dreaming of a white farting.
Uh-oh. I broke it.
I can look it up. Don't. Hey, you stop.
No,
what you're
you
doing.
Bitch. I got it. See? Where are you doing it?
Bitch, you thirsty. Please grab a Sprite. Adam's Family Values.
Really?
She plays Ellen Buckman.
Okay. I'm already here.
Oh, she was on Desperate Housewives.
Mother trucker, dude. That's cool.
Oh, dude. That's awesome, dude.
All right. I'm closing this out.
And she's a Capricorn.
This is a failed experiment.
This was a fail for you.
Yeah, I think she's fantastic. On that similar note, I think I'm giving my... I mean, look, Luis Guzman, especially in Punch Drunk Love, I think is an adorable presence. I mean, I think he's so fucking funny in all three of the movies that he's in for PTA, and I really wish he would appear in another movie of his. So good. Magnolia is an amazing appearance. I think Vicky Creeps.
There you go. Great pick.
Vicky Creeps in Phantom Thread is a beautiful performance and a fascinating character. That only is fascinating, and I mean, she just really makes so much out of it, I think. And that movie and the reception it got never loved her enough, I think. I don't think we gave Vicky Creeps the praise she deserves just yet. But yeah, I'm going to give her the most underrated element, I think. And also, anyone in Licorice Pizza that I was thinking about a second ago?
So I think I'm doing some very cursory research on Harriet Sansom Harris.
Sure.
What would seem to me on my phone, my phony phone, which is hilarious. My phone is hilarious.
Just a tiny taste. You are absolutely right. The Luis Guzman cameo in Community has carved a corner of my brain out for itself as a totem, as a shrine. It is so fucking funny. I love the way he says, "Hello, it's me, Luis Guzman." He's a genius. Anyway,
she was a stage actress mostly.
That makes sense.
She was a stage actress mostly, and she's actually
makes sense.
She was recently nominated for an Emmy for Best Guest Actress for Hacks.
Fuck. Oh shit. I'd watch. Okay. All right. I'm gonna watch Hacks again.
I have not seen. Has anyone watched Hacks?
Anyone out there watched Hacks? People love Hacks.
People love it.
People love Hacks.
I have not seen it at all.
Yeah.
But she was in one episode and she got nominated for a Emmy for specifically Outstanding Guest Actress in a Comedy Series.
Good for her.
For what I believe is maybe season 2.
That makes sense.
So, but yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, she is.
And she went to Juilliard, of course. And she's most well known for being in Desperate Housewives. And in the late 90s, she had like a somewhat reoccurring role on Frasier as well.
Interesting. I bet that's fun. Fun to watch. I checked that out.
I was never into Frasier as a kid or even like a teenager or whatever, but I watched a few episodes of it somewhat recently.
Sure.
It's a good show.
Yeah.
It's funny. John Mahoney's great.
John Mahoney and David Hyde Pierce are so fucking funny.
And it's awesome. It's just good that, because Kelsey Grammer is a piece of shit.
He's a bit of a dink.
He's sort of a dink. He's sort of a tink, sort of a little Bieber.
Kay Weeb says, Frasier good.
Frasier good.
So true.
And one of the most successful spinoffs of all time.
Yes, that
technically
is
a spinoff.
Technically a spinoff, which is crazy.
John Mahoney and is it Bebe Neuwirth, who plays the I don't remember her name.
Daphne. Think
they are great.
Frasier is the only sitcom I enjoyed as a kid. Think there's something wrong with me? No, I mean you're a good egg.
You were just reading at a grade level higher than where you were at.
Yeah, you were above everyone, and you're an upper echelon. Frasier is a good comfort show. Definitely, that's a comforting TV show, along with Taxi by James L. Brooks, starring Judd Hirsch.
Some could say. I've been rewatching Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec's a good show.
Parks and Rec is solid.
Parks and Rec becomes such a beautiful show and then turns into a fine show.
The first season of Parks and Rec was not good.
Seasons 2 through 4. Fuck it. 5, 4. I don't remember. There's the middle chunk of Parks and Recreation is so, that was thrilling to me at the time when I was in college to be like, oh my God, this show survived and continues to be funny for at least another couple seasons. Like it felt so good to see, I don't know. It's like maybe we just kind of knew that golden age of NBC was like slowly dying.
I mean, streaming killed it.
It did.
Even the early days of streaming. It did.
But then, I mean, I remember seeing in college as Parks and Rec was getting good, 30 Rock ending.
Yes.
Community going through all of its strife and losing Dan Harmon, but also Dan Harmon being weird and stuff.
Steve Carell leaving The Office.
I remember the ending of The Office when I was in college in San Francisco, like watching that and you know, being like, I liked it enough, but also, like,
but also,
you know,
these last two seasons were disappointing.
They got crazy, yeah.
Season 4 Parks and Rec is peak Parks and Rec,
yeah. Taxi is very good, Sunbro 68. That was an amazing watch
just
2019.
Just a tiny taste. Sure, as far as Cheers spinoffs rate, Frasier was passable. Alrighty. Good to hear it. Thanks for chiming in.
Real Cheers heads into the Tortellis. I don't know that. Yeah, season 4 Parks and Rec. Basically, before Harris Whittles dies.
That's so brutal if you just phrase it like that. But you're right.
Yeah.
He wrote some great episodes.
He ain't perfect. He wasn't perfect, but whatever.
He was funny as hell.
I don't need to cancel a guy who died.
I don't think there's even anything to cancel him for, maybe except for, I don't know.
I hear that the writer's room for Master of None is not great, but,
Whatever. I forgot he was even part of that show.
He was supposed to be Eric Wareheim.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Got you.
Yeah.
Well, so Alan Yang wrote on Parks and Rec, which I didn't realize.
Yes.
And some of his episodes that I've been watching and noticing that they're attributed to him, they're great episodes.
There you go. Shout out Alan Yang. I
did not see his movie, though.
No, not that. I don't know. I guess I never really got a chance to see it. I don't know. But a lot of cool Asian filmmakers out there is what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Let's do maybe two or three more categories.
Yeah, let's do it.
I think my turn to pick.
Yeah.
My turn to pick.
I'm giving it to you.
Okay. I don't want to count this one because I don't want to spend too much time on it, but were you able to pull up my promo posters?
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you do not follow my favorite podcast on Instagram or Twitter,
follow.
If you follow Twitter or Instagram's My Favorite Podcast, Twitter presents My Favorite Podcast. I made a promo poster for every single episode of the show, starting, of course, with Heart 8. Can you actually show the announcement poster as well? Thank you. Previous to this, very little graphic design experience. And some of these I knew were going to be so hard to do. But I just wanted to go out there and have some fun. Dunk. Fart.
Yeah. Really amazing work, Noah. I got to applaud you. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Sunbro. Please give it up for Noah's graphic design skills throughout this series.
I learned a lot. I learned a lot. I didn't even use Photoshop. Are you familiar with Pixlr?
I am not familiar with Pixlr.
Pixlr is a less
interesting,
less deep, free online Photoshop.
Cool.
But it has a lot of the same tools. And so that was the first one that I made for the announcement saying that My Favorite Podcast is upon us.
Mm-hmm.
Can you go to the Heart 8 one now? That one I was like, all right, wow. I don't know what to do.
Wow.
You could tell I'm like struggling to figure it out here a little bit. But they all include myself, Rocky, and Paul Thomas Anderson in some way.
Yeah. I really love that you kept on putting pictures of him in the behind the posters.
And they get increasingly more either obvious or less obvious as time goes on.
But it's just testament to you. You really play with the structure of the posters, all of which are pretty rock solid.
Thank you.
Like, the Paul Thomas Anderson posters. I think it's really funny that you did a really great job. It's such a perfect tonal statement for what we do on a podcast together, I think.
Yes.
Of like, it's very silly looking,
but it's sincere.
Yeah, it's sincere. Exactly.
Can you go through them? Thank you though. I appreciate the kind words.
Can I just, so that was the Heart 8 poster. There's this scene from Heart 8 with Philip Seymour Hoffman. And then look at this one.
This is the first one where I was like, all right, let's have some fucking fun with it, boys.
Yeah, come on. What are we doing? We gotta ball out.
We gotta ball out. We got the hearts in the eyes.
Yeah.
You got the very attractive Silver Fox, like late 30s, early 40s PTA.
Yeah, the master era.
Going on.
Kind of. Yeah, really, really, really good. And also, you know what? Just calling out that I love the kaleidoscopic quality of the Boogie Nights color scheme.
You have to. Those were to patch up some mistakes that I didn't know how to fix. And I was like, no one's really going to pay attention to that, really.
No.
And so I was like, that's my way of kind of putting my mistake, like fixing my very obvious what would have been a mistake. Like,
right.
We're going to just blend that in.
Right. I like it.
And then you got Magnolia, which is fucked up.
Very insane. Very, very insane. So the Magnolia poster, for those who don't know, you can kind of see here, is a flower. I mean, it probably is a Magnolia flower.
100%.
And the characters are kind of overlaid over all the petals because it's a film about like 12 people all intersecting on one fateful night in Burbank.
And what I read this, and I didn't even know this, Do you know that all of it's supposed to be happening within like a 3 to 4 block radius of one another?
I guess so, yeah.
Which
so
isn't clear in the movie. That was just sort of the like intention behind the scenes.
It's only clear by the time you're in the third act and you see people driving on the same street and yes. everyone's like crossing each other.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's like it could be anywhere else.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know. It's not to, is that Marge?
I think it is Marge.
That's Marge Simpson right there. Oh, yeah,
that is Marge. That's when I went to Universal Studios in 2017 when Simpsons World was still, like, going strong, and I got to meet Marge. Yeah.
I love Simpsons World.
It's nice.
Yeah. I wish they went harder, you know? I wish there was more.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
There should always be more Simpsons-related things.
Agreed.
So
I was like, well, Magnolia's kind of a mess.
Yeah.
So this poster's allowed to be a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got the flowers that uh-huh. I transposed on everyone's eyes.
It's really good.
I didn't make one for Punch Drunk. Well, I did make one for Punch Drunk Love, actually, now that I'm remembering.
Yeah. Let's
Which
see.
Is actually, it's a disgusting piece of art and should be banned in schools.
Okay. Viewer discretion advised here.
So that's me and Rocky kissing.
This is disgusting.
In probably what is Waikiki, I think.
Yeah.
And then a very obviously photoshopped slow opacity PTA in the clouds.
That's so funny that he's just kind of floating back there.
Kind of just watching us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's such. It's like, it's not just pictures of us, just like, you know. it's crude, but also just close enough that we're facing the right direction.
That's what I went. I said, where's the first like open source photo that I can find of us facing those respective ways?
I love that you thought that far ahead. I love it. That's care right there.
And I had to download so many fonts that could have given me viruses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
So there's Punch Drunk Love, and finding the right poster as the base was always tough.
For sure.
Because it had to have as minimal information as possible.
Yeah.
Because there'd be a lot of times where I'd have to clone stamp stuff out. And yeah. It happens. Like, I think for the master one, I had to clone stamp quite a bit.
That one is really hard. That one, I was surprised you picked the kaleidoscope one, but also there's not really other
there, the
posters
The other
movie.
One where it's like the Rorschach version of them, it's just not as interesting.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Let's quickly go through the other ones.
Yeah.
There'll be blood.
Oh, my God. I mean, come on.
This one at the time was my favorite one.
I mean, come on.
Come on now.
This one's really good. Oh, amazing work here. I love these effects. And this one's really good. This one might take the cake.
This one, I was like, we're having fun.
Are we ever going to get another Rocky Photoshop stream? That one was really hard to do, but if I can do it here in the studio instead of my apartment, then maybe. We'll see. This is a great poster. I agree. No, I mean, first of all, you had an amazing base poster to work with.
Absolutely.
It's so stark and scary and cool. I love this one so much. Just a tiny taste. We do want to do more art streams, whether it's the figure drawing class or art battle. Jake really has some great ideas for art battle. And hopefully we'll get that up and running someday soon. But our December and November are pretty booked, and we're very excited to show you some cool things this year and month. Look at this.
This one I had a really tough time with.
Yeah, it's not an easy feat for sure.
No.
It's very. I
had to do so much work to get that base image down.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I think this is my. Because again, my skills are very limited.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, I think this is the best I can do.
It was just the right amount,
buddy. Just the right amount.
Is Paul in here? There he is.
Yep.
There he is.
In different capacities. Yeah, and you can even still see some of the base poster like in the corners and stuff.
Yep. You see a little bit of everyone else.
So there's that.
Great. That means there's only like three more or four more
Great.
Now.
There's only three more.
Oh, good. We can almost end the show.
The Inherent Vice one,
it's
I had
5'10 already. Christ almighty.
Yeah, we got a couple left in us. But no, Marger. This one, I actually like this one.
Yeah, I do too.
I like how.
Great font work.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like how fucking just bare it is.
Yeah, it's you picked this the most fucked up photo of me possible.
it's like a scanned in image on like a printer or something.
Yeah, that was, I think, a picture of me on a TV or like a screen or something, and you might have just taken that. Yeah, I love it. And
PTA
up in the corner there. Yeah, really good. Also, really good base posters for Inherent Vice. I love the color scheme of that movie so much.
It's great.
Yeah. Close this. I don't want this.
What the hell?
I don't want this.
Did it stop you just dead in your tracks right there?
Fuck, that's so stupid. All right,
we're almost. Oh, that was a good call.
We're really almost done anyway. You got a call?
No, I said that was a good call on your end.
Thank you. Oh my God, shut the fuck up.
Can you just log in or no?
I don't really want to do that.
This sucks.
This fucking stonks, bro.
This sucks to me.
So I have an account, sign up. Oh my God, this stinks.
Anyway.
It stinks.
Let's not and say we did.
All right, hold on. No. Oh.
Phantom Thread. I like this one a lot. I like it a lot.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just really focusing on getting the poster.
This one might be my favorite.
This one's really good.
This is just Rocky's face on Alana Haim.
Yeah.
Mine on Cooper Hoffman.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to have a hard time matching the font because the font is like a not preloaded thing that mm-hmm. no one's able to have recreated because it was custom made.
Yeah.
But I actually took the Boogie Nights font and just like fucked with the shading and the outline and everything, and they're all in italics going the same way.
Wow, that's funny. I think PTA did the same thing for writing Licorice Pizza and making Licorice Pizza too.
Damn!
I'm just being stupid. I was being an idiot. Yeah.
You're being an idiot. So I think I'm going to give my favorite one.
I'm sorry. I'm just finally admiring this one.
The Phantom Thread one.
Yeah.
Where you can still clearly see Daniel Day-Lewis's top of his head.
Yeah.
This is the best blending of PTA in one poster, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks good.
It looks good back there.
Hold on, just to comment on some things in the chat. Anything we can do to stop Jake from becoming a lawyer and devote his attention to VMix formats? He, unfortunately, is both becoming a great law person, but also an incredible artist at VMix simultaneously, so it is kind of hard. You weren't a big fan of Art Battle. I felt comedy is a little limiting, especially when all the sound alerts go off. We are still trying to figure out how to do sound alerts for art streams in general, because it is kind of this thing of like, you can do it for the artist on screen, but not for the people at home, so they can also focus on art. It's very hard to juggle everything. But in general, a game show style thing potentially with art has been at the top of Jake's mind for a while, or is, you know, somewhere floating in there. So we'll make that happen. But also, thank you for burning us, Nuclear Goo.
Burn.
This is a really good poster.
I think for me, in terms of my own growth.
Yeah. Oh, this is great too.
That one I had a tough time with, but I was like, I think this is how I have to do this one.
You did a good job.
Thank you. I think I'm going to give this, there's two sides to this coin.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the Boogie Nights one is where I kind of figured out how to like do shit, even though like it's kind of bare. It's a little like, but I was proud of myself for glossing over the mistakes that easily could have ruined everything.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that. And then I think in terms of what posters I actually enjoy looking at the most, I think that There'll Be Blood and the Licorice Pizza one are my favorites.
Yeah, those kind of blend the best together in general.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with that. I think both, I really like this one. I think this is the winner, personally, for me. But
There Will Be Blood, Mr. Wayne. Master Wayne. There Will Be Blood.
Master Wayne. There's been 14 bloods, Master Wayne.
Some people just like to watch There Will Be Blood, Master Wayne. And some people can't. Some people That's have really a hard good. Time watching other movies, Mr. Wayne. Master Wayne.
Okay, we have two more categories maybe we can do?
Yeah, you pick one more and then I'll pick one more.
Okay.
Or two more categories and then we have to give our rankings.
Yeah.
And then we have to end this forever.
What about best location is really interesting to me, but I don't know if we should do it.
Quickly, I'm going to cheat and say the San Fernando Valley.
That's kind of it, isn't it?
That's the cheat answer because he's just made it be what it is.
Right. I really love Barry's warehouse.
Yep.
I really love Barry's warehouse.
Should we just quickly do all the rest of these?
Yeah, okay.
Like quick. No, we don't have to. Let's not.
No, that's fine. We should probably end in the next 15 to 20 minutes. I don't know, maybe.
No. Let's not barrel through them because we're going to get stuck on like the third one and just not do anything.
The licorice pizza always cracks me up. LOL. There you go.
Thank you, Abby Sally.
You're her second favorite Noah.
I'll take it. There's been a lot of Noahs out there.
Yeah.
You pick one more category you really want to go on. I'll pick one more and then we got to do the rankings and then we got to say goodbye.
Best moment of editing. Wait, oh shit, I gotta put the trailers back on screen.
Oh shit!
Ah, fuck, Kenny!
Cartman! I can't do Kyle or Stan or any of those guys. Y'all won't get high.
But you can do Towley, I guess.
Y'all won't get high.
Yeah, I guess best moment of editing. That's such a specific thing. Literally a catalog filled with so many. No,
I can give you two. I can give you two right off the bat.
Me too.
You brought this up actually in the There Will Be Blood episode, but the transition from childhood for HW into marriage,
brother.
That moment of editing is pretty unreal.
That demolishes the 2001 cut, in my opinion.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's really amazing.
And then in the more recent episodes, in the more recent films, it's a contextual cut, but when you see Alma walk in Phantom Thread and the ghost is gone.
Yeah.
Those are the first two that came to mind.
Totally. Yeah, that entire sequence is really, really amazing. I really love all the crossfades in Liquor in Inherent Vice.
You gave yourself chills when
Why
you
would
said
I
Licorice
do that?
Pizza just now.
What's the font PTA uses? That's a good question. It is this
in which one?
I guess he does kind of change per movie, huh?
It depends on the movie because I got close.
Yeah. The There'll Be Blood font is like aggressive.
Yes. I can't remember what it is, but if you type into Google There'll Be Blood font download, you can find it.
Yeah.
Baskerville, something like that, maybe?
That sounds about right. Yeah, all the crossfades in. Oh, and then cutting to the fucking Jeremy Blake art montage and Punch Drunk Love at the beginning is also like incredible.
Oh, the scapia tones or whatever they're called.
Yeah, the weird art scope of tones.
Oscilloscope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a really amazing moment too. Just another shout out to Leslie Jones, an amazing editor, and I really hope that she works with PTA a couple more times before, you know, I don't know,
the world ends.
Before it's all said and done, yeah. I mean, like, the fact that we got, keep saying it, Punch Drunk Love, Inherent Vice, and The Master are such incredible collaborations between those two. Their editing for those films are amazing, and I really would love to see them work together again. That's all I'll say about that.
Swag.
And then you pick one more, I think.
All right, let's find out here.
Yeah. I've been having a great time. I mean, like, this podcast ended up being very mammoth for the both of us to take on. I don't know. I mean, I'm very bad at time management and stuff, but I will say it's been an honor working with my dear friend Noah Marger here.
Come on now.
And I hope that we can work together again, something like this in the future. Yeah. Go on.
Wish I could say the same. Mr. White. Wish I could say the same, Mr. White.
Jesse Pinkman?
It's Harry Carey Pinkman. The Cubs are coming out. They're about to win the game, Mr. White. We got to cook, Mr.
So
White.
So silly. A lot of Paul Anderson films. That's true.
All right.
Let's rank the Resident Evil films now.
Perfect. We'll do that next.
Apocalypse.
All right. So we have to do this, and then we're going to do the actual ranking of the movies themselves.
Okay.
Character most likely to say yup. Character most likely to say swag or swag 9000. Character most likely to say yucky uh-oh.
Yeah.
Had to do it to you, boss.
You really had to do it to me. I deserve this.
I'll tell you mine and you can think on it.
Okay.
For character most likely to say yup. Can you give me a close up real quick? Yup.
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 Yup. Are you taking pitches for your next podcast? Maybe.
That's fun.
I'm open to hear ideas.
I honestly am so mad that E1 exists because I think it's such a perfect premise for a podcast.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's such a smart idea for a podcast.
And Blank Check's premise is incredible too.
I really love Blank Check. We basically stole Blank Check to just do this podcast. And I'm really happy we did because I had so much fun with my friend Noah Marger.
I had so much fun.
But also, I kind of am interested in hearing podcast ideas and then I don't know.
And then picking the favorite one and then taking it for our own good.
And not letting anyone else get credit.
I would be down to, I'm not saying that if you were to pitch it and we liked it, we would do it.
Fuck, I would, Just a Tiny Taste. I really would.
Wes Anderson, I have a lot of thoughts about Wes Anderson, and it would be fitting to do the other, like, big Anderson to come out of the 90s.
Totally. We did Paul Thomas Anderson. We should do Wes Anderson and Roy Anderson and Paul W.S. Anderson.
All the Andersons.
Yeah.
So we're going to do character most likely to say yup.
Yup.
Thought about this a lot. I put a lot of thought into this one every single week on like Rocky. I put a lot of thought into this category. I care deeply about it. It's important to me. Unlike you. I think Lancaster Dodd is the character most likely to give a yup.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I see that.
He's just so willing to let you believe that he agrees with you, even if he doesn't give a shit.
It's so funny because I was thinking about Dean Trumbull as the guy who would say, yup.
Yeah. But I think a film somewhere often character is the perfect guy.
Yeah. That's the guy who's going to say, yup, the best.
And his heartache character could easily be that.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
He could easily be a yup.
Yup.
For Swag or Swag 9000, once again, thought deeply about this because I always do for every single category that I think about, as well as these particular ones that are very important to me and the kind of the reason we do the show. Reed Rothschild from Boogie Nights.
I was going to say the same thing.
The perfect guy.
The perfect character to say, Swag. That's Swag 9000.
Oh, yeah. Dirk, that's Swag 9000.
Yeah, totally, man. That's Swag 9000, yeah.
How much do you bench?
I bench Swag 9000.
I bench Swag, and it's over Swag 9000.
Yeah.
Yup. Okay. And then for last but not least, or sorry, you were going to say Reed too.
Yes, I was literally thinking that, yeah. So,
and then for Yikey, you could go a lot of different directions with this.
You really could, but should we say our answer at the same time?
Yes.
Three, two, one.
Reynolds Barry Woodcock. Egan. I was thinking about Barry Egan as well.
I was thinking about Reynolds Woodcock also.
Damn. But those two guys, but I give it to Reynolds. I thought about it a lot.
Yeah, okay, yeah. No, yeah, that's. I'm glad you did. Yeah, I think about it for Barry in terms of like when he's talking about listening to like morning radio and like drive time radio and stuff.
Yeah, and one of the DJs says something foul.
Exactly, he's like, "Yikey, uh-oh."
He basically does that in the date scene with Emily Watson. Exactly, Emily Watson, right? Emily Watson.
Yes. Yeah.
He would be one of those. The thing that Barry says. God, I love this moment every time more when I watch it. It hits me so much harder is when he says goodbye to Lena and just goes, and bye-bye. Bye-bye,
stupid motherfucker.
And bye-bye, because he just can't stop replaying that moment over and over
just
again.
Just fucking up his goodbye at the end of a date. Yeah. It's so perfect.
It's so good. But I give it to Reynolds because I see him eating with Alma and just being like, oh, Yikey, about to go off. my king shit about to go off, bitch.
Yeah. Or like if someone put too much butter on his asparagus or something, he'd be like, Yikey,
I'm about to pop off. So that's what I give it to. RIP to Louis Anderson big time.
Absolutely.
I've been watching a little more baskets recently, and his performance is legendary.
Revelatory. That is one of the most important comedy performances in American comedy of this past decade or so.
So, and Zach Galifianakis is unreal.
Oh, yeah, he's amazing. I mean, so fun to watch, do anything, honestly. But yeah, Louis Anderson was such a wonderful. What the fuck is happening behind us?
And Martha Kelly, of course.
Yeah, Martha Kelly is really, really great, too. Baskets is so good. I worked on Basket season 4, so I got to talk with Louis Anderson a little bit.
He said, hey.
Yeah.
Yes,
he did. Yes, he did. Harry Laverne Anderson. I don't know either of those Andersons, honestly.
And when you said Harry Dean Anderson, I actually thought you meant Harry Dean Stanton.
Yeah,
who
exactly.
Is unfortunately passed away.
He is gone.
Not an Anderson.
Oh, MacGyver and Stargate. Interesting.
Oh, Richard Dean Anderson is MacGyver. Yep.
Gotcha. I didn't know that.
You're right. Cool. All right, Rocky, you give me yours or you give me your last category, and then we do the rankings. And then we literally have to end this for all humanity's sake.
I was going to say favorite line, but I feel a little underprepared for that. There's so many I can pick from. Do you have a favorite line lined, like a picked out?
I got two.
Okay, give it to me.
If you figure out a way to live without serving a master, any master, then let the rest of us know, will you? For you'd be the first person in the history of the world, which is Lancaster's. One of his last lines to Freddie in The Master. It is one of the scariest, existentially dreadful lines that I think I've heard in a PTA film, which normally is not his beat.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, a lot of these movies are about people who are very cosmically lost.
Yes.
You know, and I feel like that movie in particular addresses it so specifically.
Yeah.
Especially in that ending when like the windows are blown out and all white. It feels like kind of purgatory a little bit.
Sure.
Like that whole movie feels like a dream anyway. So it does feel like you're kind of in this like waking, you know, wandering mental headspace.
Well, to me, the reason why that line hits so hard is because to me, that's Lancaster admitting to Freddie that he bested him.
Yeah, that he won because he's free. Yeah,
he's
exactly,
free. And
yeah.
And Lancaster does not understand how Freddie can do it.
Yeah.
And so that's his tip of the hat to say, I love you, but you can't be in my life.
Yeah.
God bless you. So that, and then I believe that that's that Mattress Man.
That's that Mattress Man.
It's the ultimate standing up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
This, and you could do that whole line if you wanted to. The I have a love in my life. It makes me stronger than anything you could ever imagine. I believe that's that Mattress Man.
Yeah.
When that really, maybe the second watch of Punch Drunk Love for me, when I really fully internalized that line, I think my life changed. Genuinely, I think my life changed.
Yeah.
It was beautiful to me in a way that very few other things have been. So those two.
Yeah. Yeah, really, really, really good picks and so many to pick from, obviously. I'm just going to give it to the entirety of the monologue that Reynolds Woodcock gives to the ghost of his mother.
Oh, yeah, that's a great line, too.
Yeah, I kind of can't get over that scene. I mean, maybe just because I experienced what Reynolds Woodcock is going through in that movie in particular, in that sequence, I guess. And I think it's just such a pure little boy kind of thing to say. Everything PTA wrote in that sequence just is kind of like very frank and not holding back anything, expression of sadness and love and stuff. I think it's just, it's maybe some of the purest writing that PTA has done in a while. And I think that movie really unlocked itself for me this time around. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to watching it again this Christmas or New Year's. Feels like a movie for both holidays anyway.
Totally.
And
a winter film.
A winter film for sure, yeah. And I'm so happy that there's another canonically brilliant movie that I just feel so much love from in his category. Play both sides, that way you always win. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think my recorder is going to run out of battery here pretty quick, so I'm going to give you my ranking.
Yeah, do it.
Going from top to bottom, Punch Drunk Love at number one, There Will Be Blood at number two.
Wow.
Boogie Nights at three.
That's strong.
The Master at four. Magnolia at five. Magnolia slipped a little bit.
That's
here.
Crazy. Magnolia was like near the top for Noah for a long time.
Magnolia was my second.
Yeah.
Magnolia at five. Phantom Thread at six.
Mm-hmm.
Hard Eight at seven.
Yeah.
And then Inherent Vice and Licorice Pizza for me and the bottom, tied for the bottom, but for very different reasons.
Interesting.
Licorice Pizza is a movie that I genuinely just think is mid.
Yeah.
That's a movie I genuinely just don't like that much.
I'm pretty much the same way. I mean, you can listen to our podcast. That's kind of what it is. I felt so weird about talking about Licorice Pizza, but yeah, ultimately, I just don't think it's as entertaining as we kind of wanted it to be.
It doesn't feel personally. It doesn't feel the same as the PTA, because every other movie feels PTA to me in a very specific way, other than also Inherent Vice. Inherent Vice has some of those PTA feelings, but I got to be in such a specific mood.
Yeah.
For Inherent Vice.
I agree.
And I'm normally not in that mood.
Sure. Yeah.
But when I am acid psychedelic mystery, it hits the spot.
It's also super existential, I think, in a lot of ways. It's just a movie about meditating on missing your old loves and, you know, how life is slipping you by and that there's nothing you can do about the grander forces at play. So, yeah, it is kind of like a very weirdly depressing and hard to follow movie sometimes. But, yeah, that movie really over the years has kind of grown on me even more.
Sure.
And my rankings I'll talk about in a second here. Abby Sally, I completely agree with that take, that Licorice Pizza would have been a fantastic TV show for PTA.
Absolutely.
I think it would play so much better, and I feel
not even a limited series, like a straight up TV series.
Yeah, why not?
Yes.
Yeah, let it be like just a weird Valley anthology kind of series. I think that there's so much room there. And I've always thought that PTA would make really good episodes of Mad Men. I kind of wish that happened at some point.
Interesting.
Because there are some episodes near the end of the Mad Men series in existence that I was just like, this is so up his alley, and he would do such good, make some of his choices that he would make in any of his movies would fit perfectly with Mad Men, in my opinion.
Mad Men's a blind spot for me, so I can't comment on that, unfortunately, but
maybe we should do a podcast about Mad Men where you watch it for the first time and I watch it for a third time.
Someone we know would lose their goddamn mind about that.
Yeah, they would not like that whatsoever.
They would get a little pissed, and maybe that's a reason enough to
a
do
PTA
it in the
version
first place.
Of Dune. I would be very interested to see what PTA would do with sci-fi. That'd be very I guess any filmmaker, it's like, what's your sci-fi movie look like?
That's an SNL sketch right there.
Literally,
the Wes Anderson's Dune.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
surprised Grant didn't pop in and mention Mad Men. I know I was shouting taxi to get Chris, and Grant might be sleeping, so I don't know.
That's good.
Every director should get a shot at making Dune. There should be a one story that keeps on getting adapted by different filmmakers over the years.
Gilgamesh.
Okay, and finally my ranking.
Well, they just found a new DLC to Gilgamesh. Did you know
that?
That's
so funny. Yeah, it's so true.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, my ranking from top to bottom. Tied for first place are Punch Drunk Love and The Master.
It's the same thing we've been saying the entire time.
It's the same thing we've been saying the entire time. I keep on saying it, but it's so true. I don't know. Maybe I'll just try on having The Master as my favorite Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
That would be huge.
All right, so Paul Thomas Anderson's first, number one, The Master. And then Punch Drunk Love. Then in third place, I'm going to give it to... I'll give it to Inherent Vice. Then There Will Be Blood. Then Phantom Thread. Then Boogie Nights. Then Magnolia. Then Hard Eight. Then Licorice Pizza.
And that, folks...
That's top to bottom, baby.
That's a Paul cast, if I've ever heard one.
We've grown as individuals, some could say.
Some could say we haven't learned a damn thing.
Yeah, it's probably more the case. Probably more the case.
Agreed. Well, thank you guys for tuning in for this 2.5-hour stream where we fucked around and found out.
Yeah, man, you got it.
And thank you to everyone who's listening to this after the fact, too.
Yes, thank you to everyone who's listened to the podcast in general.
Yes.
I've gotten some very lovely friends of ours would tell me, like, I've been listening and I'm really enjoying it. And
it's nice to know that people are enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. Because the people who are saying that, I love talking about movies with you too. So it kind of feels like we're in this weird symbiotic relationship. So thank you for listening in and for indulging us in this. And I'm glad that I got to co-host something with you, Noah.
Dude, absolutely. This was long overdue in some ways.
Truly. Yeah. 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 There was a lot of missed opportunities for us to host podcasts together.
Yes,
funny enough, was. Truly through like magazines that we're mutual friends with and stuff.
And so we made up for it in a miniseries. And you know, if you genuinely would listen to, if you have podcast ideas, throw them in the Discord, tag Rocky and I in there. I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say. No guarantees that that's what we'll do next.
Yeah.
And then as...
Did Scott put up any pictures of Paul Thomas Anderson in the Discord? Let's
find out. But the other thing is, it'll already have come out, but I am releasing a state of the My Favorite Podcast Union tomorrow.
Beautiful.
As of this live stream. It'll already have been out when this podcast actually goes up. Kind of just talking about where I'm at with the show and what the future of the show will or will not be. It ultimately, I think, raises more questions than it does answers those questions. But that's just the God's honest truth of where I'm at the moment with the show as well. And I think more or less just where I'm at in general with projects. But I appreciate every single person who's ever listened to this show, whether you are a longtime listener, came in just at this miniseries, or come in sort of in and out as you see fit. It's awesome to know that people like this show in some way, shape, or form. And getting to do it with my friend Rocky was a dream come true. It's the most fun I've had podcasting on a consistent basis for this amount of time ever. So
it was quite the journey. Yeah, thank you, buddy. Yeah, love you, Noah. Excited for whatever we get to do next, and excited to have you back on everything now.
Yeah, we got to get me on before the fucking end of the year.
Yeah, it's going to happen. It'll happen. I wonder what we're going to do for the end of the year. We're almost at 300 episodes, which is fucked up.
Holy
but
shit.
I also must emphasize that if you want any just good podcasts to listen to, whether it's like you're working and hanging out or just want to learn about cool art and things in life and whatnot, really do check out It's On the List with Noah and Mason.
And you really should.
And also My Favorite Podcast. I think Noah has such a brilliant idea, and it's really great to learn about people through the things that they really connect with. And I think it's a really brilliant podcast, and Noah's like a perfect host to be.
Thank you.
Doing that. So check that out. Listen to episodes or Everything Now hosts and, you know, friends and family and whatnot if you're interested.
Every past and present host, except for Grant, because I've only known Grant a few months, have been on that show.
Yeah.
So you can hear a Sydney episode, you can hear an Alex episode. Rocky's been on a few times. Jake and Chris have been on a few times. So then go and look at the ones that also interest you, because I guarantee you, if the subject's interesting to you, you're going to like that episode, because the person who talked about that thing really, really likes that thing.
Exactly. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in to this.
The first ever Everything Now Hangout.
Yeah. I'm really excited about this channel existing, honestly. I mean, I think I just had so much fun putting this on, and I feel like with more like foresight and everything, some really fun things can happen in a video podcast format. Yes. So I think stay tuned. I can't imagine anything would be happening in the immediate near future, but I definitely want to experiment with this. Even in just this literal environment, I've been wanting to do like...
Yeah, we're in like MGM's private screening.
Yeah, we are in a... We did this in a movie theater on the Paramount lot.
Which was awesome.
And I've really been wanting to do Mystery Science Theater 3000 style things for a while. And I know that some people do that on Twitch, like Master Pancake or whatever that is. And I don't know. I think this will be a cool space to be experimenting with ideas. So stay tuned, and thank you for supporting Everything Now and for supporting Noah and his work.
Thank
and
you guys
for supporting me and everybody. We're really excited about the growth that the show has been seeing and so many new friends along the way this year. So happy to meet all of you. I Fight For Them, Abby, Sally, everybody who's been hanging out for a long time, like, Master Pancake is based out of Texas. That makes sense. That seems to be where a lot of, like, you know, streamer artists are kind of hanging out these days. But anyway, we're so thankful, and we're really excited to have another great year with you very soon. So keep on staying tuned. Some really wild guests are coming up very, very soon.
I've heard about one of the guests. If you are a fan of comedy from the 2010s, you don't want to miss that episode.
Yeah, this is like... This would mean a lot to my high school self. I'm very excited about who's coming on this show very soon. And we're just continuing to make more friends around the LA area. People are coming onto the show and supposedly having a good time, I guess.
That's what they're saying, at least.
That's what they're saying. So you're going to hopefully get to make more friends through this show, everyone out there, and meet some very funny people that we're glad to showcase and work with. I'm going to stop talking.
I want to say two more things.
What the fuck?
What the fuck? If you live in the LA area, November 11th. Yes.
Do this.
I'm doing a spot at the Comedy Chateau in North Hollywood. Free tickets with promo code Noah M, all capital, all one word. Noah M. That's in. I'll put it in my link tree, but you can also just go to the Comedy Chateau website. Go to the Friday Showcase. Get as many unlimited tickets as you want. Free parking. It is a two-item minimum, but it's always so fun to see people. Apparently, Nuclear Goo saw me at To Kill a Mockingbird at the Pantages, and we kind of chatted about that in the DMs. Come and say hi to me next time, you son of a bitch.
That's a very welcoming invite, Noah.
I know. And
it's good.
But come out and see me on November 11th if you live in the LA area. I'm doing a spot at that show. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram for all different like occasions when I'm going to be on this show next, when I'm going to be doing spots around town, whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm up to. Twitter and Instagram is the first place that you can hear about it. And thank you to Everything Now for always having me as a guest through so many years. I've been doing this show since 2019, and even during the lockdown days when I wasn't even living in LA, mm-hmm. you guys were nice enough to have me on in a virtual sense, whether it was one of those like, you know, audio only episodes, or it was like a ENSA type thing. It's always been a pleasure to be a part of this show in one way or another, and I hope to be back either doing the regular Everything Now show or at more hangout streams with you guys, because this was a lot of fucking fun. So thank you to ENS. Thank you to you guys. Come check me out at the Comedy Chateau on November 11th.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Cool.
No, please do. Go see Noah any chance you get. This guy is... I love Noah.
But he doesn't think I'm funny. He loves me, but he thinks I'm a fucking piece of shit.
And if you want to see me do live comedy on Wednesday... Fuck it. What is it?
Fuck it.
Wednesday the 16th of November at 9 p.m., I'm pretty sure. Come see the new Natural Blondes comedy show at the Yard Theater. I will be... It is a beauty pageant, and I am the master of ceremonies. That's all I can say, and apparently all I can really know. So yeah, come see Julie and Sydney of the Everything Now family. Alice also, obviously, duh. And they have some really funny comedians lined up. I'm going to be an MC for a beauty pageant. It's going to be very silly. And yeah, I hope I see you there. Also, Just a Tiny Taste says, Noah, you're fucking funny. Keep on keeping on.
Thank you, Just a Tiny Taste.
There you go.
Even if my friend next to me will just not say it through his dying lips, I know that just a tiny taste was saying it.
No, you know I think you're fucking
funny. I know, I'm
as
giving
hell.
You a hard time.
Why are you giving me so much guff? Who the hell do you think you are?
That's the baby voice that I use for my dog. Sorry for talking like that. Let's see.
All right, what are we taking these people out on?
All right, guys, we're going to raise somebody. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
What the hell's going on over here?
Well, this new channel doesn't follow enough people, but Harry Horror Show is on.
Let's give that mother effer a raid.
Abner!
Tonight's topic, Aaron Hernandez. My god.
That's Harry Horror Show for you.
That's some true horror right there.
That's fucking
funny.
That's
some true crime.
That's really funny. Yeah, he does true crime. He does conspiracies and true crime. Chris and I talked about
Bud Dwyer
on the show.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was crazy. I use that voice on one character. You can't place it. I do like the weird like mobster with a baby voice.
It has a baby Herman before the baby Herman
starts
being who he really
exactly.
is.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. I gotta practice.
You gotta take a shit.
I gotta practice improv and do better characters on this show. I haven't been feeling really great about my characters.
Rocky, stop.
So know that I'm gonna be working on that, and I'll bring the funny next time. I promise.
Rocky.
Although I did try out a stand-up bit that I had in mind, which was Arnel Pineda of Journey doing "Don't Stop Believing" Part 2, and that went pretty well on this show. So I'm gonna try and adapt that into its original state, which is a live comedy performance.
Fuck yeah.
So maybe I'll try that out. My boy Bud Dwyer, how's he doing these days? More shirtless characters. I agree. It's the perfect cheat code. It's true. It does bring me into a feral state. We're unable to raid Harry Horror Show at this time.
What the fuck?
Why? Maybe the show is ending.
Can we do this, please? Can we get out of here?
I'm fucking trying, dude. It's not letting me.
You're a fucking asshole.
Okay. All right. You want to go there?
You're a fucking dick.
You think that I'm doing this on purpose?
Yes.
All right, who else is streaming? I'm not going to raid Hassan.
No, that would be funny.
That would be funny.
We're going to raid Hassan Piker.
Fucking stop. Fine. All right, you know what? Fine. We're going to raid Hassan Piker.
We're going to raid Hassan. I don't know if you guys have heard of this guy. Support your independent Twitch streamers.
I can't believe we're doing this. So stupid.
Check this guy out.
All right.
How many people is he watching?
25.7K.
We're raiding this guy.
I can't raid him. What the fuck?
All right. You can't. Can we raid anyone?
I guess we can't raid for some reason. But thank you to the 10 people who are watching. I was not looking at the numbers throughout this thing, but that's a very sweet number.
I wasn't looking at the numbers at all. Yeah. Thank you for guys. If you've stuck around the whole time, God bless you.
Yeah. Seriously. Thank you all so much. We love you. I'm sorry we can't raid anybody. So just all go to Harry Horror Show's thing if you're a subscriber, I guess. This sucks.
This fucking stinks.
This is a bummer. I thought this actually went pretty well, but the fact that we can't raid anybody is really disturbing me right now.
This is fucking bullshit. Yup.
Damn, I'm tired as hell. Can we get a link? Yes, I'll do the very bare minimum of getting you a link to the Harry Horror Show. That's the least I can do for these 10 people.
Is that
stuck
what's
around.
Really going on right now?
Yeah. I literally cannot raid him for some reason, or anybody.
Maybe it's because
we were unable to raid Harry Horror Show at this time. We were unable to raid Hassan Abhi at this time.
Maybe ratings down.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know how Twitch works. So.
I know. Yup. So yep. Can we do a fake raid? Here you go. All
right. Can we also do a fake raid of Hassan Piker?
Okay, fine.
Yes.
Here, a genuine choose your own adventure. Are you going to go watch Harry Horror Show or are you going to watch Hassan Abhi?
The most popular Twitch streamer of all time. Hassan Abhi.
This channel follows Harry Horror because it's the only person in our followed channels section that is online right now. Otherwise, I would raid like Yurma or something. I hope to get Yurma next year to play like Party Quest or something.
Presta, presta, numa, 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 numa.
Oh, is it a new channel thing? Just a tiny taste? That makes sense. All right. You should probably end the episode already at this point. Ignore this. This is all Twitch stuff. There's an NPR episode about how Choose Your Own Adventures recently. It was pretty interesting. I think it's such a fascinating genre of storytelling. And I'm learning about a lot of old books that were in the Choose Your Own Adventure vein. I mean, I read the Goosebumps books when I was a kid. But I'm learning about like literal first-person action books
that are illustrated, and you have, you write down your stats and character sheets and stuff like that as you go. It's amazing. Noah, I'm going to end this stream. I'm sorry.
Thank Christ.
Bye, everybody. We love you so much, and we'll see you tomorrow for an all-new episode of Everything Now Show. So long and goodbye.
Da-da.